Welcome to the Bad Apples Podcast. This is our special I bumped into Scarlett by chance. We both apparently decided to come to the big KDE release event, KDE 4 release event, being held by Google for the KDE developers and the community. And we're here together now. And what do you say, Scarlett? You want to talk a little bit about this, I don't know, exciting development in KDE?
Well, I think it's pretty interesting that Google decided to sponsor this whole thing. I mean, they have catering, they have shirts. I mean, they're just springing the works on this event.
Yeah, it's a nice event.
Yeah, I'm wondering what they stand to gain here.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I guess Google supports certain open source projects, but I just wonder, I mean, is it because they use KDE on their internal desktops, or...
Oh, is that what they do that?
I don't know. I'm wondering.
Speculation.
Yeah, I'm really curious, and I haven't really seen anyone I've felt like was high enough in Google to really ask.
Right.
But, yeah, it's kind of weird here. You can't take photos inside. Can't take any video inside.
Yes,
it's like
they've
forbidden.
Made that very clear.
Very clear. I mean, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Especially at an open source convention. You know, you free software, but don't take any photos in the building. You know, it's just, I don't know, weird.
Yeah.
But it's a cool event, nevertheless.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's really, really cool. Catering.
The just the environment here, the attitudes of everyone, it's just super collaborative and exciting. I just could not stay away. I'm so glad I made it.
Yeah, well, me too. And are you going to stay? Were you here yesterday?
No, just came in today.
But yeah, so and we've seen a lot of people talk today. It's been really, really cool. How did you hear about KDE?
Well, I got a live CD from a friend and tried it out with OpenSUSE running behind it.
Oh, cool.
And I was just really impressed. I mean, the theme is very unified.
Yeah.
I mean, being a graphic designer, I can really appreciate that. And I really had no idea coming in here all of the apps that there are. I mean, they have KOffice, they have Krita, which is like the GIMP, you know, like Photoshop for the graphics. And I mean, they've got a vision going on, and it's coming to fruition.
Yeah, it's an exciting vision. And when, honestly, I used to use KDE when I first came to Linux, and I wasn't aware of all that stuff. And yeah, it looks very exciting. They've got a lot of stuff going on with this. You know what struck me about that live CD? Because that's exactly what I tried too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I tried the OpenSUSE. You said you tried the OpenSUSE, right?
Mm-hmm.
I tried the OpenSUSE with KDE on it, and I looked at it and I was like, wow, this looks like something someone would go out and pay, you know, $130 for, or whatever OSs go for. I mean, it looked so professional, and the only thing I feel that separated it from, for instance, Leopard, or I guess Vista, but whatever, is that they didn't have, like, a big keynote presentation, except that now they do. You know, Google's mm-hmm. giving them that opportunity, and that seeing Aaron Saigo up there talking, who's the project manager, I guess, of KDE,
mm-hmm.
seeing him up there demoing some of it and stuff like that. I mean, that was so cool, and you just really got the impression, or it made an impression, you know, how great this KDE release was.
Yeah, and how far they've actually made it. I mean, they started way behind these other OSs, and they're actually, in my opinion, ahead of them in the fact that this is a cross-platform OS, and it can, you know, be run on, you can run it with your Mac, you can run it with your Linux box, and obviously, and even Windows runs it. I mean, that's super progressive.
That was very progressive. I mean, it sounds like some of those underlying frameworks or whatever are going to make it very easy for programmers to write programs that are going to end up totally compatible on, yeah, OS X or Windows or Linux or BSD or whatever. But the exciting thing was that it was all native. You know, you didn't have to have any kind of translation going on. It just ran in that environment.
Yeah, it's a completely different model.
Speaking of, like, frameworks and things like that, which, I mean, I admit I don't know a whole lot about, like, because I'm not really using them yet. But one of the foundations, kind of the core foundations of the KDE program is something called Qt, or QT. People here seem to be pronouncing it Qt, so okay, Qt. And they've just released Trolltech, the company that developed Qt, just released Qt 4. And it was revealed today, and it's kind of cool, we have a scoop on this.
Mm-hmm.
It was revealed today to these people exclusively that Qt...
Yeah, didn't he say he was putting the press release out, like, in 2 days?
In 2 days, yeah. So this is jumping
this
the gun on
news.
That one. This is hot news. They're going to release Qt 4 under the GPL version 3 license, which is big news, because the GPL is, of course, the very document that allows software developers to ensure that their code that they're writing, their free open source code, is not, like, taken over by corporations and used without, you know, giving anything back. So going with the GPL version 3, which is kind of a controversial and more aggressive, I guess, license, is really, really progressive. It's a big deal. I mean, they're going to still offer it as a license under GPL 2, but the fact that they're also offering it under GPL 3 is a big step forward for the GPL version 3. It's a big deal. It's very exciting news.
Well, it got a standing ovation here today.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, it was a pretty shocking and bold, yeah, announcement, so that was really cool.
And that was Trolltech.
Yeah.
It seems like is this true, Kalachi? I mean, Trolltech and another company were talking about, you know, they're a for-profit company that operates under that traditional model, but they are collaborating with the open source community. It looks like, you know, I'm very interested in this. I mean, it looks like a way of becoming definitely friendly toward them, reaching out to them, and also they get a lot of programming done for them in that way.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's the cool thing about the open source stuff, is that you've got people developing the code, and then you've got companies that can use that code, but also give back to that code, and I mean, it just kind of works for everyone. I think it's a really cool model. And it's really, really exciting to see that it's, like, working out.
Well, I'm pretty excited. I've already installed KDE on my MacBook, and it's running really well. It's really smooth. And, yeah, I mean, tell your listeners how they can get KDE.
Well, wait, that's really cool. What did you install it on top of on your MacBook? Did you do Ubuntu and then KDE?
Exactly.
Cool. All right. Well, that's good, because that's exactly what I was... That's the only way I know to do it right now, so... So if you want to get KDE and run it, and like they were saying here at the event, you know, you might not want to get it if this is a very important computer to you and you need it to get daily work done. You probably don't want to just switch over to KDE 4 with nothing else to back you up. But the good thing about Linux is that you can have GNOME, you know, a normal Ubuntu installation, and then just add to that the KDE 4 stuff, and on a day that you need to get your real work done, you can go into GNOME, and if you're feeling a little bit more experimental, you can sign into KDE 4. And here's how you do that. It's really simple. Now, I tried to do this on my Fedora book, but it was pretty tough with the RPMs and the dependencies that it was requiring, so I just couldn't be bothered to do it before I came up here to Mountain View. But what I did do was, for Ubuntu, you go to kubuntu.com, and there's actually a set of instructions right there. It's very simple. You just add one repository to your list of repositories, and that's found in /etc/apt/sources.list. And you're going to add that that repository to that list. Just paste it anywhere in there. The weird thing about it is on the website, it gives you the thing to paste in as just http://whatever. You need to add DEB, as in Debian, DEB space, and then paste their line in. Once you do that, you'll be able to apt-get install KDE 4 core, and it will pull all the KDE stuff down off of the repository for you. It'll install it, and nothing seems to happen. So then log out of your session, and it'll take you back to your login screen. And then on the lower left-hand corner of the screen, there's the Options button. Click on the Options button, and it brings up a list of different window managers that you can log into. So you'll have your default GNOME. You'll probably have like a failsafe, IceWM, or something weird like that. And then you'll have KDE 4. So click on KDE 4, go in. It'll ask you if you want to always go into KDE or just for this session. Say just for this session. And then you're in KDE 4. And it's so cool. You're going to love it. You can start adding some of the K apps and kind of getting familiar with the whole environment. Try out K Office. Me and Sterling both are pretty excited about that. Give it a go. It's a really exciting release. I really see that it's going to go... I'm excited. I think it's going to go really, really far. This is a great beginning to a very, very hyper-modern desktop. Skrillet, it was great to see you.
Hyper-modern is the word.
Isn't it, though? So I guess I'll catch you later.
Yes.
They're probably gonna
grab me a cocktail.
Yeah, I think there might be more food, so.
I'll see you over there.
All right, cool. Okay, this has been the Bad Apples special episode number 6 for the KDE release event. And tune in next time. We're gonna do the normal episode 5. I don't remember what's in it, but tune in again, and talk to you then.
After all, everybody should have something to be interested in.